Well, it was high noon in Manhattan, midtown Manhattan, the Great Apple, the Big Apple. And the streets were buzzing with activity. The crowds of people were scurrying all over the place for lunchtime, and the horns were beeping, and the brakes were screeching, and sirens were wailing. And there were two men that were there in midtown Manhattan together. One of them was a person that lived in New York on a regular basis. But he had a friend that was visiting him on this particular day, and he was from Kansas, and he was a farmer. And so suddenly the farmer stopped in the middle of all of that was going on within the city, and he said, "Listen, I hear a cricket. I hear a cricket." To which the New Yorker responded, "Are you kidding me? And even if there was a cricket around here, it isn't likely that you'd ever be able to hear it amidst all of this noise that's going on." Well, the farmer remained quiet for a few minutes, and then he walked several paces to a large potted plant, a bush that was there on the corner of the street, and he moved a few leaves around, and sure enough, underneath those leaves was that cricket. And the city man was just flabbergasted. He says, "What great ears you have," he said. And the man said, "No," he said, "your hearing is as good as mine. It's a matter of what you're conditioned to hear." He said, "Wait just a minute," he said, "I'll show you what I'm talking about." And so what he did is he reached in his pocket and he took out a handful of coins and he threw them up in the air. And every head turned and all the people started scurrying for the money. By the way, children, there's 20 pennies there after church and walking to them. Don't let your mom get them. By the way, you have to put two of them in the offering plate. That's called a tithe. 10%, right? Is that right? Anyway, interesting. As they drop to the sidewalk, we hear what we want to hear. Now, men, this is kind of like selective hearing. You guys know what I'm talking about. And the ladies, you know what we're talking about as well. And I know we're annoying when we do that. But it's a matter of what you're listening for, or maybe even what you're trying to tone out. And so we turn to this morning's gospel lesson to hear the words of Jesus as he shared them with a group of folks. He says in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 21, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again to them, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, "He's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" May God add blessing and understanding to both the reading and hearing of his word. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus teaches this same lesson about hearing, about listening. Using the imagery of a shepherd and the shepherd's flock. In biblical times, a shepherd was someone that was appointed to take care of God's people. Similar to today, a pastor is called or appointed or assigned to a group, a church, a flock of people to help care for them and guide them and take care of the nourishment that they need spiritually as well as physically. It's an important role. And in Jesus' time, when we'd considered a shepherd, an actual shepherd, all the shepherds would put their sheep together in a pen, and they would be there all together for the evening. And later on that next morning, each shepherd would call their own flock. And they wouldn't respond to any other shepherd other than to their own because they knew that particular voice. It's like when a farmer goes out and calls in the hogs or the cattle. They come running, or you go out and you call your dog in. Does that work with horses, Liz? Sometimes. Okay. It works sometime with my dog too, but not all the time. But they recognize the voice, and maybe your horses have selective hearing, I don't know. But anyway, it's remarkable how this works. Those sheep follow that shepherd because they need nourishment, because they need guidance, because they need that shepherd to protect them and care for them and to sustain their life. Jesus says in the scripture lesson before us today that he is the good shepherd. A shepherd then is that one that is a royal a caretaker of God's people. And in the book of Psalms, God himself is one that is appointed as the shepherd over all of Israel. He says that he is the shepherd over all of Israel. And Jesus said that we should follow him as the good shepherd for that nourishment, for that care, for that guidance that we need to enrich our lives to the fullest extent, to have the abundance of life that God intended for us. Jesus says, "Follow me and take up your cross daily." It's not possible for you and me to only hear the shepherd's voice on Sunday, but not hear it Monday through Saturday. We must listen to the voice of the shepherd not only on Sunday mornings, and I'm talking about the shepherd, Jesus. We can only hear his voice here this morning between these hours, but we must listen to that voice all throughout the week. Continue to hear it. And if you don't, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You cannot serve two masters, is what the scripture says. You either love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve both God and humanity. You cannot serve both God and money and possession. It doesn't work. There's a conflict between the kingdom of God and a conflict between the world as we know it today. We must make a choice. We must determine which voice we're going to hear and then which voice we're going to follow. It is God who warns us through Jesus Christ that there are false teachers and there are false prophets. And they tell us to, and he tells us to beware of them, for they are like wolves in sheep's clothing. There's a commercial on TV right now for the flu shot. Have you seen it? And there's a wolf, and it has a sheep's skin draped over it running through a hospital. Perhaps you've seen it. That's the imagery that you could have in your mind right now, a wolf in sheep's clothing. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be attentive to one and despise the other. You know, in our world today, as never before, we are bombarded with advertisements. Millions of dollars are spent. Millions and billions of dollars are spent on advertisements. And in this political season, millions and billions of dollars are being spent on political campaigns. We hear these messages through the television set. We hear them on our phones. We see ads pop up on our computers. We read them in the newspapers. We see them on the internet. They're all over the place bombarding us, telling us who we need to vote for, what food we need to eat, what kind of car we need to drive, what kinds of clothes that we need to wear. If only we will buy this, if only we will wear that, if only we'll eat this, if only we'll drink this, then life's gonna be good. There was a commercial on years ago, it was for alcohol, and there was a big campaign to encouraging young people to drink more. Yes, that's true. It was a campaign, and a campaign on television showed a lot of young people in the commercials, and they were all laughing and having a good time and, of course, guzzling booze. And the punchline of the campaign was, it doesn't get any better than this. Well, I'm here to tell you today, it gets a lot better than that. Meanwhile, perhaps there was another voice that they heard, hopefully, or a voice that we've heard before, especially if you're like our family and you've ever been hit by a drunk driver, telling them of the grim statistics on drunken driving and the tens of thousands of human beings whose lives have been lost and whose lives have been crippled forever for the remainder of their life here. Jesus gives us a warning as our good shepherd and tells us, do not worry about questions like, what are you going to eat? What are you going to wear? He tells us that even the unbelievers worry about such things, that we don't need to worry about those things because God says that he takes care of the sparrows, that he takes care of the lilies of the field. He provides for them. How much more does he love us and care for us? Your heavenly Father, believe it or not, knows all that you need. I believe he probably knows the desires of our hearts and some things that we would like to have or want. But listen to the difference between what I said. What I believe it says is that Jesus knows our needs, not our wants, but our needs. He knows the needs. And if we seek his kingdom first, as it says in Matthew's gospel, and his righteousness, then all of those other things, those needs that we have, will be added to us. Not the wants, but the things that we need will be added to him, to us. If we follow his way of holiness, if we follow his way of righteousness, it's a matter of priorities, of getting our priorities straight, understanding what's important in this world, putting first things first. This happens many times for young parents. I know it did in our family. When our children needed something, and still to this day, if there's something that they definitely need, Patty and I will sacrifice in order to make sure that that happens. When they were little, it was if we needed a pair of shoes, but the kids needed a pair of shoes, the kids got the shoes. We always fed them well and clothed them well, but we didn't go out buying our own clothes if the kids needed clothes. And of course, as you know, they grow. And there's a lot of times when shoes are needed and new clothes are needed. Last night, some of you may have been thinking, you know, I'd rather be a safe driver than have another beer. Earlier today, you might have been thinking to yourself as you were preparing to come here, more about what is going to happen when you get here than about what you're going to wear to church. You know, I don't miss those days where you really had to worry about what you were going to wear to church and people kind of judged you or looked at you one way or the other if you didn't have a suit and tie on. Those days have been gone for some time now. Maybe some of you would like to see them back, but you don't have to worry about that here. And so you don't worry about that. Later on, though, through this week, you might be thinking about be more concerned with what you're going to give than what you're going to get. I would encourage you to think and adopt that mindset. What you're going to give rather than what you're going to get. Later on this week, it might be a matter of being more concerned with what you're going to share than with what you're going to take. I would encourage you to adopt that mindset and belief as well. Be someone who shares and not takes. Be a giver and not a taker. Perhaps this week you'll be thinking about things as they ought to be rather than things as they are. It might be a matter of being more concerned with doing things God's way, or like Frank Sinatra used to sing, do it your way. I did it my way. All right, that's my best Frank. That's all I got. A young man was faced with an important decision. And as some young men, myself included, when I had important decisions to make that might affect my course of life, I go to someone that I trusted. And when that person wasn't my dad, after he passed away, that person was always my grandmother, his mom. I'd always go to her for advice on things. But in this illustration, there's a young man that had an important decision to make, and he went to his grandmother and he said, you know, Grandma, there's this weirdest thing that's going on. And Grandma said, well, what is it? Share it with me. Tell me what it is that's happening to you. And he said, I need to make this right decision in my life, and I've prayed about it over and over again and continue, but I just can't decide. Nothing seems to happen when I pray. Nothing seems to change. The young man said to his grandma, Grandma, please tell me, how is it that I can hear the voice of God? The grandma thought for a while, and she replied, my dear grandson, I have quite the opposite problem, quite a different problem. Because of it, I don't think I can help you. You see, I cannot not hear the word of God, the voice of God. We hear what we want to hear. We hear what we're listening for. We proof text from the Bible to find things that support our beliefs, the actions that we want to see happen, instead of taking an entire passage or book and making the point in context as it was intended. We hear what we want to hear. We read what we want to read. God never gives up on you. God always desires for you to hear His voice. God never stops inviting you to be in His life, for you to be in His life, and for Him to be in yours. God always keeps calling us. He never, ever gives up. And if you're here today and you do not hear Him, it's not because God isn't close. If you're not hearing the voice of God like this young man in the illustration that I shared with you this morning, it's not because God's too far away or He's not speaking loudly enough for you to hear over all the city noise. It's because you're listening to other voices. It's because you're being distracted by the world and what it wants you to follow, or who it wants you to follow. It's because you are listening to other voices. And generally, you must realize that you are the one that's too far away if you cannot discern what God is trying to say to you. You see, week after week, month after month, year after year, I have preached from this pulpit, and I've shared with you the good news of Jesus Christ from my heart each and every week. I've preached to you about from the Gospels of Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I've shared with you from the epistles of Paul and all of the good news throughout the Bible in these last years. And how the Word of God, the Word, became flesh and made His dwelling among us and came to be part of us and desired to have a relationship with us. And that He desired for us to be one body in Jesus Christ. I've preached to you and shared with you from the good news of Jesus Christ how God entered into the world and walked through the boundaries of this world in an eternal rhythm. Are you listening? These writers of Scripture, inspired by the Word, inspired by God Himself, try to tell us that there is love to be found beyond measure through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Through these words, inspired by God Himself and through the men who wrote and women who wrote them down, they try to tell us that there is hope in the world, that there is hope beyond this world, that there is hope only found in Jesus Christ. Are you listening? The Scriptures try to tell us of an abundant life. Not necessarily a prosperity gospel where we're all going to be wealthy and we're all going to have all the things of this world or that this world offers, but that God will care about us and for us and provide for us. These things will be offered to all who walk within those boundaries of the eternal rhythm with Jesus Christ. These Scriptures tell us, and these writers tell us, that only when we are walking within those boundaries of that eternal rhythm can we begin to experience true hope, true peace, true joy, and true love. If we really desire to be fulfilled. And this can only be possible when we're listening to the voice of our shepherd, when we are in the will of God. Only when we seek first that kingdom of God and all of his righteousness will those things happen for us. Are you listening? These writers of the New Testament, they didn't know how busy we are. They didn't understand how important we are. They didn't understand how important the work that we do is, and how grinding it is, and how difficult it is, and how much time it takes for us to do all of this work. They didn't realize how time-consuming it was going to be. And the quest that we have for possessions and power and status and wealth in this world, they didn't understand that. Little did they know that the mere tinkling of coins on a sidewalk in a busy city could lure us out of the boundaries of the eternal rhythm as we walk with Christ. In verse 16, we're given a glimpse of the scope of the church as it would become worldwide. There are sheep that are not yet of this pasture. That's us, those Gentiles, those outside of the Jews, the chosen people of God. That's us. And there are still people out there today that do not know Jesus, and that's why we exist. That's why we are here. It's why we're doing what we're doing as a church. Because I believe we have listened to the Word of God. I believe that we have seen and read and taken to heart Matthew 25, in which Jesus says that if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. And if you've not done it unto the least of these, you've not done it unto me. And if you've done these things, then welcome and be part of the family. But if you've not, depart from me, for I never knew you. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Are you listening? Amen.